Welcome to the Poultry Health Today podcast, where we talk all health, all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Poultry Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve poultry health, welfare, performance, and food safety.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Pick, Managing Editor of Poultry Health Today. With me is Dr. Aaron Riley, Staff Veterinarian with Sanderson Farms. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are excited to have a conversation with you about reovirus and hear more about your experiences that you've been having. Kind of give us some of the highlights of the evolving story.
Well, for a long time, before I ever came into the poultry industry, vaccines were developed that were very effective, and they worked for years and even decades. And about 2012, viral arthritis occurred in the industry and spread pretty quickly. And these viruses were termed variant reoviruses, which I think surprised most of us because it just we haven't seen viral arthritis like this in a lot of years. So the search was on for how do we fix this because classic viral strains did not touch the problem. And so since 2012, we have been through a process of finding problem reoviruses and developing autogenous vaccines with various companies with a lot of help from vaccine companies. And I've learned a lot about trying to find the right reovirus and ones that will make good candidates for autogenous vaccine. And so one challenge is you're always behind the eight ball because by the time you find a problematic virus, you then have to isolate it, see if it is a good vaccine candidate, make a vaccine, and by that time you're months behind. And that's a lot of broilers that have been placed and processed that are susceptible to disease.
Why do you think it keeps changing so fast? Does it have to do with the fact that we just can't keep up with how fast it's evolving and we're chasing our tails all the time?
I don't feel like, that I have a good grasp of why it's changing all of a sudden. I don't know that the virologists that work on this really have a good understanding of it. The epidemiology is not clear, but it spread across our divisions very quickly, and we certainly can haul it around with eggs and just personnel movement. So
talk a little bit more about how viral arthritis presents itself. What are signs you're seeing, and how does it present itself within your operation?
Service technicians or our flock advisors, when they call with a problem of uniformity issues and lameness, those are two of the consistent things that I hear from flock advisors. And so that's the first rule out on my list. If you have a uniformity problem, lameness, and reduced water consumption as a result compared to adjacent houses. And those are the symptoms that are described to me over the phone before I go to the farm, and then we'll see just that, and it's been pretty evident, and can be confirmed pretty quickly with some testing.
And what age of birds do you typically see?
The typical complaint happens between 28 and 35 days of age. Our broilers, we grow to 50 and 60 days, so about midway through the grow out. People that are become very familiar with the problem can see it in the mid to early 20s. So that's been the presentation at our company.
And how big of a problem is it as far as, number of birds, number of facilities, in relation to all the other challenges you have from a disease standpoint? Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, when it first started in 2012, it was a really sizable problem because of all of our hen flocks were naive to the variant reoviruses out there. Once we've been able to vaccinate with killed autogenous products in our pullets, it has become much less of an issue. And so currently we will have a couple of houses per farm and maybe two or three broiler farms affected. And so we tend now to blame the problem on poor vaccine administration or immunosuppressive disease. But there's always the possibility of another variant coming.
Arriving on scene.
Arriving. And the way that looks is it will be multiple farms, but typically two or three houses a farm, depending on the source flock. So when a variant comes on board, in my experience, you'll have multiple hen flocks affected, and then wherever those chickens are placed, you'll typically have two or three houses per farm. It won't, and it's due to vertical transmission, not as much horizontal transmission has been my experience, although both are very possible and documented.
So let's circle back to vaccines a little bit more. Talk a little bit about your experience with autogenous versus traditional commercial vaccines.
My experience has been that reovirus, when you vaccinate against reovirus, you have to have a somewhat homologous virus for what to protect what your field challenge is. The autogenous products we've had largely success with, but the difference would be that each cereal that comes out every few months, say every 6 or 8 months, we may get a new cereal of autogenous vaccine. It doesn't have those stringent requirements that a licensed commercial product does. So there's always questions of efficacy because there's not the level of testing. And then secondly, you always question if you have the right bug, is it still pathogenic, because it's gone through several hands of isolating and re-isolating. So you don't have the quality assurance with autogenous products. So there's always a question mark. Our vaccine suppliers do an excellent job, but they don't. There's not a stringent of a quality assurance process with autogenous products.
Let's talk a little bit about diagnostics in your operation. As viral arthritis appears, and you know, what are you doing from a diagnostic standpoint? What are you looking at?
Well, just specifically for broilers, when we think we have a case of viral arthritis, we very quickly pull blood for ELISA serology. And that is typically pretty clear. That tells us if we have a problem. The titers will be very high if we have a significant reovirus that causes viral arthritis. So that's the first thing we do. And then next we want to look for the problematic virus and see if it's the same as we've had historically or a new one. So we'll collect whole legs and send them to a number of different labs for virus isolation and characterization. And so there's a lot of great experts that are helping us along. We're still learning how best to characterize those, and whether it be genotyping or serology and pathotyping. So still learning how to pair those different methods to look at reovirus.
So as we wrap up our discussion today, what would be a couple key takeaways you would have from your experience with reovirus that you might share with other producers facing similar challenges?
I would say that autogenous vaccine development should be obviously a big focus, and spending the time and effort and money to choose the right viruses is critical. So whether that would be a challenge study, and that's what we did to start with. We had a lot of help from vaccine suppliers doing a challenge study, trying to choose the best virus for our vaccine. And that has been the biggest part of our success, along with a good deal of luck, too, choosing the right virus. But we had that help initially, and it really paid off.
Great. We've been visiting with Dr. Aaron Riley, staff veterinarian with Sanderson Farms.
Thanks for listening to the Poultry Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting poultryhealthtoday.com/join.